David, there's news at Camp Okoboji.
Yes, there is, and we appreciate being here today, Art. We've been going through a real busy summer. We just got done with our camping season with all three camps, and it's been a great summer. But we also have had a lot of changes on each at each camp, and one of those changes has been that at Okoboji, Camp Okoboji, where we're making some staffing changes, and part of that is, as many people out there probably have heard, Keith Hsu, who has been, I think, for 16 years, our site director there, had the opportunity to take a wonderful position up in Minnesota, the Minnesota Annual Conference, as their director of camps and retreat. And so the board in the last month, as we've transitioned here, had been looking within the camp for some leadership there, and we're very fortunate. We were blessed to have Brian Johnson, who's been at the camp for many years, I think 10 years on staff or more than that, who we've decided has just great capabilities to lead the camp. And so it's he's coming on board, and we have him here today to share with us about camps and everything. So,
well, welcome in a not so new way.
Thank you,
Camp Okoboji, and
you guys are very kind.
And as of Saturday, a new way and in a formal fashion as director at Okoboji. Tell me a little bit about how you got involved in camping. Maybe even who introduced you, if there's a point where you can identify that, and then maybe share some of those experiences.
Yeah, well, I grew up here in Des Moines and Urbandale, actually, and like so many campers, the camp promotion materials come out in the spring, and I saw one that really appealed to me, and it was up in Okoboji, actually, and so I kind of developed a love for camp up there, and it became a big part of my year every year, finding the camp that I wanted to go to up in Okoboji, and I fell in love with it. It's been a great place for me. And as my life has changed throughout the years, going to college and other pursuits and traveling, I've always kind of been drawn back to that site, and I've been fortunate enough to be on staff for a number of years, and spend the past 4 or 5 years of my life as a full-time staff person at Okoboji. It's become my career and my passion, and something that I'm excited to continue doing, something I feel good about every day. I think camp is great, and I am so thankful to have been a part of it and to be able to serve in leadership there.
As you look at camping in a sort of general way, what are the I don't know, the important aspects of camping. What are the influences that camp can bring to individuals?
Sure. Well, I think that camp has a way of taking people out of an environment that they're comfortable in and putting them into a new environment that maybe they're not so comfortable in. But the thing about the new environment, the not so comfortable environment, is that it's a safe one, it's a loving one, and it's a place where everybody sort of starts again. You can be somebody new. You can be somebody who sort of forms a new identity in a loving, faith-based environment. Mm-hmm. And for me, my gosh, that made all the difference in the world as a youth. And I'm so excited and so encouraged when I see that continuing to happen at our Methodist campsites. So I guess when I look at it, I think of people, and I think of relationships, and I think of a trust that's built over a week of camp between a camper and their staff member, between a volunteer and a camper, between the staff as a whole. It's a process that I think over time bears itself out as being really powerful.
Mm. Sounds like there are many levels of relationships in a camp week.
I think so. Gosh, yeah. And I've been fortunate enough, like I said, to be a part of most of those in Okoboji. And you know, it's a learning process too. Transitioning from being a camper to being on the counseling side of it, being a counselor, and then getting into the more of a support role where you're working with other staff and helping to train and working through problems that arise during a camp week. But you're always learning. You're always finding new things and coming up with new solutions to help people grow in Christ.
In a way, becoming the director at Okoboji is not new, and because you know that experience so well. in a way, it is new, different relationship with staff as they come on board, as well as those who are longer term than just the summer volunteers and staff. How will that transition be for you as you look forward to it in the next few days?
Sure. Well, you know, it's going to be a transition. I think any new incoming director will say, oh my gosh, I had no idea that this happens, or I had no idea that I'd be spending so much time doing this. But to be totally honest with you, I feel so blessed and so encouraged that as I've started to live into this transition at Okoboji, that I have the relationship that I have with the previous directors, and that they have been able to just be an excellent resource. I can't imagine a smoother transition for somebody like me taking this position. I have folks available who can answer questions that I have. I have a support system here at the conference, mm-hmm. with folks who can help guide me and let me know what's going on. But it's going to be a new role, obviously, and something that a lot of new things that I'll be doing. But I tell you what, this is going to be, I think, as smooth of a transition as there could possibly be.
As you look ahead at the 2013 season, which we're just on the heels of finishing 2012,
right?
The
yeah.
2013 season. What are some of the things that you'd like to see happen at Okoboji?
Well, gosh, I am so excited. We just completed our new addition project onto our dining hall. It's now the Baskerville Retreat Center, and we are so excited to start living into that building and to see how it changes 2013. We got a taste of it this past summer in 2012, and it was a it was so great. We were so thankful that it was there. It was such a space for kids to be, to play, to feel safe, to experience mm-hmm. programming. And I'm excited to see how that transitions in now that we can really start planning around using that facility, programming around that facility. As far as other things, gosh, we had such a great summer with so many kids, and our numbers grew, and I think that is a testament that says what we're doing is good and what we're doing is working. And as somebody who's been a part of the program at Okoboji for years, I guess I can't promise any broad sweeping changes, because I very much think that what we're doing is very yeah. effective and is meeting people where they're at, and people are finding Christ yeah. in real ways at the Okoboji site. I'm excited to continue that. I think that's going to be the main focus. There will be, a couple of things that change, like there are every year at each of our sites. But the overall message of finding Christ and having Him be a part of your life and figuring out how you can grow your faith is still going to be central to what we do.
Hmm. Okoboji has a mix of brand new facilities and some facilities that are going on to almost a century of use in camping.
Pretty close. Yeah. We've got our new ones, and I kind of talked about that a minute ago. We've got some that are kind of in the middle of their life, and then some that are reaching the end of their life. Here just this yeah. week, we're having our Remember the Tabernacle service, mm-hmm. Remembering the Tabernacle service. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a celebration of that building's life. It's been a staple for folks who came to Okoboji for years and years and years. And that particular building is was original to the site when it was founded in 1915. Yeah. The plan is for that building's life cycle to end this yeah. fall. We're sad to see it go. Like I said, mm-hmm. people, when they think of camp, a lot of times they think of that building. But we are excited to know that even though the Tabernacle is no longer going to be a part of our program, that we have of other things that we're transitioning into to reach people of this next generation. And it's going to be a good thing, I think, for folks mm-hmm. coming in the future.
Two more quick questions.
Yeah.
One, in this interim time between the completed 2012 camping season and people beginning to think about 2013 camps before they even arrive. How do you keep up with the young people who come? Do you do electronic means, Facebook connections, or how does that happen?
Absolutely.
To continue the relationships that get started around a campfire or in the lake or as they ride go-karts or whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good question. That's a great question. Yeah. You know, I think for a lot of campers, they're looking for that network of people and gosh, we've got our Facebook account. Yeah. We've got our Twitter account where people can, become our fans on Facebook. That's a great database of folks, who love camp and have been part of the camping program. I encourage you, out there in internet land, if you have not been to Facebook and checked out our page, feel free to do so. And that's a great way for folks to stay in touch. All of our campers, we hand out, contact information so they can keep in touch with the friends that they had at camp. And, you know, gosh, that stuff works. People need that connection. You know, you come off the spiritual high from being at a camp week and you come back and you're like, gosh, you know, I miss my friends. I miss those people. I miss those camp connections. Yeah. Those are real lasting bonds that never leave you. Some of my closest friends today are people that I met at camp so many years ago. So, I'm so thankful that we're able to provide opportunities for people to stay in touch.
And if I were, in eighth grade, and I was thinking about coming to camp next summer, but I wasn't so sure.
Sure.
What would you say to me that might encourage me to get past the thinking stage?
Sure. Well, I think for a lot of people, you know, they want to know, what are my cabins going to be like? What's the food going to be like? Where am I going to stay? You know, I think there's a perception about camp that for folks who have not been there before, I think once you're there, you're hooked and you love it. But I think if you've not been, it can seem scary because it's an unknown thing. But you know, gosh, I tell you what, one of the things that I take pride in about Okoboji is helping to train staff to be welcoming, to be loving, that this is your home for the week. And we've got great activities. We've got great staff. We've got air-conditioned cabins, hot food, fun places to play. You're going to love it. It's going to be great. And then, beyond that, sometimes folks have, you know, additional questions about, you know, medical needs and whatnot. And we're always available to help answer those too.
One last question for the both of you, for David and you, Brian. Just because the last campers have left the camp and all the mismatched socks have found their way back home.
Almost.
There's another aspect to this in camping and retreats. And so stuff goes on beyond the end of August and the beginning of the school year. Say a little bit about that, including what we touched on before we started recording about clergy finding a space for some quietness during these interim months.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we are during the summer where our focus is on our camping ministry, but during the other 9 months of the year, my gosh, we are a pretty premier conference and resort getaway for folks. We rent out our cabins almost every weekend throughout the winter time, sometimes even during the week, depending on if folks have needs or events. And we're always open to accommodate folks as best we can. The new building that I mentioned is just we anticipate that being a huge boon in sort of legitimizing what we're able to offer to year-round groups. I couldn't even tell you how many different kinds of groups we have. You know, family reunions, gatherings, scrapbooking, youth retreats, United Methodist men, United Methodist women. We get all kinds, and folks love Okoboji. They love the Methodist camp, and I'm honored and blessed that I'm able to work at a place that people want to be at and people want to come back to, and we see a lot of repeat business as a result of it. as far as clergy and pastors go, you know, gosh, we would love to be that place for you to get away to take some time off, to reflect, to be in prayer, to work on your sermons, to focus on, you know, the next, the next quarter, the next year, see where that's going to go. Excuse me. Sure. We're open to work with you. I'd say just give us a call.
Yeah, and I think it's been, at least from what I know, it's been a long-standing invitation at all our camps for many years that anyone involved in ministry, not only clergy, but ministry, but we work with the conference here and other ministries, that they can come and have a night, you know, of an overnight retreat or some time to reflect and to have some meditation. And I'm just going to mention a little bit, you know, it seems like when I work with all three camps, you know, you mentioned scrapbooking United Methodist Men. Every couple months we hear of new groups coming that are just out of the box that you wouldn't think of. And we even work with, we love doing all sorts of ministries with these folks with the conference or churches. We even have a college football team that comes and does team building there at Wesley Woods. And we have some 4-H groups that come. And so, you know, and we in our prayers, we're a witness to all these folks, you know. And so we really have a lot of retreats and facilities at each place are really wonderful. That, you know, we're adapting to a lot of different needs for folks. But whether it's like you know, Timber Lodge, you know, or Baskerville, just throwing a few names, or Asbury, we have a lot of facilities that really would work well with any retreat group. So great. We're grateful to have folks come.
Okay. Brian, thanks and welcome.
Thank you,
David. Thanks as always.
Appreciate it, Art.